Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Sheffield Live.
Yeah, good afternoon and welcome to The Squeak. My name's Luke Crofts.
And my slide has actually been turned up this week. I'm James Hargreaves.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do it again. I remember this week.
Yeah, I was listening back the other day to last week's, and you did it after about three songs. You forgot to slide me up again.
Yeah, it was just...
Or I'm just not taking the hint.
The thing is... If they don't go off, the mics don't go off properly, and then you can't hear anything. So I have to turn yours as the bad one. So I have to turn yours off, then I just forget it to put it back on.
I'm the bad one, as always.
Yeah. How you doing then? All right.
I'm good. I'm actually feeling much better than I felt yesterday with my hangover.
Yeah. Paul Sellers has got the hangover this week. Yeah. But he got through his 2 hours on Eclectica just fine.
Yeah, but bless Paul, he went out Friday night and Saturday night. I couldn't even manage yesterday.
Yeah. No, I did. I went out Friday night and last night, but I was feeling it, so I didn't stay out late last night. Yeah. Went for an Indian with some friends. It was really nice. Went to Akbar's in West One.
It's good there. Like
I've not been before. I didn't even know it was there, to be honest. It's sort of round the back.
It's like down the stairs, isn't it? You go down the stairs. And
Yeah. It's there.
Oh, I like it.
It's massive inside, though. It's a massive building. Deceiving from the outside.
Yes.
But yeah, very nice. Very nice. I'd recommend it. Football's back.
It is indeed.
And Gary Lineker's done match of the day in his pants, as he promised.
He has.
He said he'd done something ridiculous, like 4,000 press-ups a day or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
To get himself in shape.
It's everybody's raving about it as though it's the second coming of Christ. It's like, all he did was... And they weren't even pants, it was shorts.
Well, actually, they were pants, but they were very long pants.
Yeah, it's like something from the 1950s or something.
Yeah. They weren't. You wouldn't wear them underneath anything else because it'd just be ridiculous.
He was wearing bloomers.
But no, of course he promised he'd do it if Leicester won the Premier League, and they did.
Yeah.
By 10 points, as it happened. To be fair, he managed to keep a straight face.
Yeah, it all came from a tweet, didn't it, in December when Leicester went to the top of the Premier League.
They were top at Christmas, yeah.
And nobody expected them to win the league. And so he said, if they win the league, then I'll present match of the day in my pants.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know he did.
I think what the message should be for this is that anybody that says anything stupid on Twitter should be held to it.
Oh, lots of people say a lot of stupid things on Twitter, don't they?
Exactly. Imagine if you had to carry out everything that you said you'd do on Twitter. Guess there'd be more murders.
Well, quite possibly, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't really feel like there's not been any football on, because obviously we had the European Championships as well.
That's it. And football's come back with a real bang, hasn't it, this year?
It's
been a good start to the season.
Hull were in disarray.
Yeah.
And seemingly fine, because they've beaten the champions, reigning champions. So, crazy. Sheffield Wednesday been on telly twice. First two games, both on Sky Sports.
Both against... Relegated teams.
Yeah. 4 points from six. Possible six. That's not bad going at all, is it?
Unbeaten. Except for the cup. But we'll not talk about that much.
Yeah, well, I don't think that was a priority. The chairman said he wants to get promoted within 2 years, so... We can't do everything.
It winds me up. It's a football match, and they play football. Understrength teams should be banned. you should have to play, like... a decent team in the cup.
Well, they've never had a rule on it, have they? So
they do in the Football League Trophy, or the EFL Trophy as it is now.
Yeah, we've gone very American this year, haven't we? EFL, EPL.
Yeah, it's all TTFN. Commercial branding. TTFN.
Yeah. Anyway, let us know what you think. Of course, we're on Twitter @TheSqueak. Tell us your thoughts. We've got some. Carl Malone has tweeted in. Yeah. Didn't even as need to
always,
prompt him.
As always.
I stand by every word on Twitter. Well, we'll go through a few of those later.
Yeah, sometimes I sit by the words on Twitter whilst I'm browsing it on my phone.
Carl obviously had a gig that he put on at Yellow Arch on Friday. We've got some music. All of the music is from Friday's. No, it's not, is it? Ryan Young's not, is it? Or is it?
Ryan Young's not, but he was there, so it kind of...
Brilliant.
It counts.
So it's from Friday. So Ryan Young and Electric Sunrise. Then we've got Ice at the Sea on Fire, Kong, and then Celador Mooncrow, who apparently were absolutely brilliant. So
my new favourite band. The best live band I've seen this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's on later on, sort of towards the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. How was it on Friday?
It was awesome. First time I've been in Yellow Arch since they did it out, and they've got a little bar in there with the stage at the end and everything. They've done a really, really good job of that place.
I've not
got decent beers and lagers on tap.
I've not been in for years, to be fair. I think it was Danny Pietnik doing a practice for a gig.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
When he was in one of his old bands. It was a two-piece, I think. So, yeah, good night then.
It was awesome.
Slippery toilet floor.
Yes, yes. Shall I describe my trip to the toilet?
Yeah, why not? Literally. Literally a trip.
This is possibly one of the most embarrassing things that's happened to me in a long time.
It's right,
I'm quite an embarrassing person.
Well, for any ladies that are listening, obviously ladies all have a cubicle.
Yeah.
But I don't think women are that bothered because they go in the cubicle themselves. If you're stood at a urinal... You can't physically have any contact with the person next to you because it's just like an unwritten rule. You can't do it.
No. You don't look. You don't.
You shouldn't slide tackle them either.
Well, what happened? It's a stone floor, right? And a little bit of water on that stone floor and it becomes a death trap.
We were talking about this on the way in, and I'm sure a few years ago they brought some legislation in to say then all public houses had to have an Altro non-slip floor in the toilets.
Well, I can understand why now. Because I go walking in, and as you walk in the door, there's like a 2 foot long wall at the side of you, and the other side of that wall is a urinal. So I go walking in, hit contact with this water, which... You know, I just aquaplaned, basically. You know, like when you watch racing, F1 racing, and they go sliding around. Yeah, I aquaplaned. In my effort to stay upright, I grabbed hold of the wall as I was going around, which then flung me around the wall as though I was orbiting it like a moon. And my slender body just body slammed into some poor bloke who was stood there at the urinal mid-flow.
Oh, no.
Which then resulted in... You know,
missing the urinal, obviously.
Yeah. And
more
then,
water on the floor.
And then it's lucky that we were in the toilets because the people that were following me in were absolutely wetting themselves.
Yeah, no, a bit of a vicious circle, really, if you think about it.
It was a vicious circle I went round into somebody. I couldn't apologise to that guy enough. To the point where I came out, I was telling our friend Faith the story, and she... For about 20 minutes was bent over double laughing, and the guy had to come over and tell her it was a true story. He's like, yes, he did body slam me into a urinal.
You couldn't write it, could you? You couldn't write it. But other than that, you know, good night had by all, by the sounds of it.
It was brilliant. And I think it was Mono King. We mentioned for Mono King, we've not got their music tonight, but today. But it was their last ever gig.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sort of taking an extended break.
Yeah, and they're one of these bands that have kind of survived for the last few years. I remember watching them a few years ago. They did, I think it was Tramlines at Plug about 3 years ago, and 24 hours before they were due to go on, two band members left.
Wow.
And left Ben and Jordan, I think it was. And... Ben and Jordan, to their credit, they just restyled all the songs and went and did them themselves.
Unbelievable.
Like, for that gig. But the same thing happened this week. The drummer apparently
couldn't
make Friday night for their last ever gig.
Oh.
So they had to get a new drummer in with 48 hours notice. And it was really good. It's the best they've ever sounded, I thought.
Yeah, I like Mono King, I have to say. I mentioned it a couple of last week or the week before. I was talking to Ben at Tramlines. We had a really good chat.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame that they're not going to be together anymore, but for whatever reason, I'm sure we'll see Ben and Jordan at some point again.
The musical lads, and they're quite active in the scene. They'll do something else, you know. Yeah. Hopefully, very quick.
I'm sure. Yeah. Should we kick off with a bit of Ryan Young then to start off with?
Yes, his album came out on Friday.
Did it?
Yeah, it was called Heatseeker by Ryan Young and the Electric Sunrise, Luke.
Yeah. I was caught out last week. We had Electric Sunrise, Electric Sun... No, not Electric, but we had Sunset Yellow and Sun... Yeah, Shine
fantasy,
something.
Yeah, it was quite a sunny.
It was
playlist last week.
It was focused on sort of like plants and germination and
in your
head. What do they call photosynthesis?
Wow,
that was the theme of it.
You're going right into infant school education here, aren't you?
I got a C at GCSE. So yeah, what I've done this year, I've put everything in a nice little table, and still managed to get it wrong completely. Anyway,
Ryan Young and the Electric Sunrise, whose new album is really good. You should go out and buy it now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just coming up to 2:15, and this is Honey, I'm a Heat Seeker. You listen to The Squeak on 93.2 FM with Luke and James. Get in touch on Twitter at The Squeak.
Well, it's a hot day and the sun won't shine. She brought the heat wave with a perfect smile. It's always what you don't expect. She bites you around the neck. She lived a life of a devil who taught her how to drink and sing the blues. Angels came in a dream to say, right, you gotta keep away from her by night. She was a rain dancer, she's haunted me for countless years. Well, she dresses in black and she don't care for your name. Well, she cuts flowers from her own hair, smokes all her troubles in bed. She got a best friend in a pistol. She runs her fingers through like a man. She wanna win now to escape somehow from the lie up inside her head. Well, she's so cynical, she spits out miracles. She's the West Riding time bomb woman. She wears a black belt around her neck. She says, I kinda like it when you choke me close to death. Do you ever see me dreaming of you when I'm away? Will you never leave my mind? Oh, night and day. Well, she cuts flowers from her own hair, smokes all the troubles in bed. She got a best friend in a pistol. She runs her fingers through like a man. She wanna wait now to escape somehow. Cynical, she spits out miracles. She's the West Riding time bomb woman.
So yeah, Ryan Young and Electric Sunrise.
You've done it again.
I nearly did it, and then I didn't.
That wasn't the song that I was going to play, but it's still Ryan Young.
it's
the one from before it on the album. That one's Time Bomb Woman, not Honey, on the Heat Seeker.
So this little table that I've put together is all in vain.
It is, but you've already had to scribble something out on it, so it's not entirely my fault. So yeah, Time Bomb Woman. It's a good song.
Scribble that one out now. Time Bomb Woman. Yeah. So the album's out. Is it available on iTunes, I'm guessing, and all those
all
sort of
the
places?
Usual places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I just wanted to give a special shout, because we were talking about Faith, Faith Shaughnessy, of course, a few times now has sat in when one of us has not been here. And I was listening back to a podcast from a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Glastonbury and Coldplay.
Yeah. She's got a real way with words.
I was listening to it in the car driving down the M62, and I was absolutely howling. I'd forgotten, because you forget, don't you? And then I was listening back, and I was like, God, that woman's funny. And this is, if you missed it, this is just a snippet of what she had to say about Chris Martin and Coldplay. It's brilliant.
You? I can't stand him, and I can't stand him either.
Why?
Well, for example, he said, I was walking through the festival with my children, Apple and Moses. What an arse. Calls the kids that for a start.
Oh, God. Absolutely had me in stitches. I've not laughed that much for a while.
I did listen back to that this week, and I was chuckling at that as well.
Apple and Moses.
Oh, God. It was so funny.
But the biggest question to come out of that, Luke, is who calls the cat Moses?
Well, you might not have heard that, yeah. Because, right, when we were kids... My mum just said, oh, you know, you can name the cat. So we, for some reason, we picked Moses.
Why?
I don't remember. I don't think that was me. But we had one called Moggy.
Yeah, that's a...
My mum must have picked that one.
Well, that's the kind of name that kids would pick. We had cats called Tom and Tigger when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They're kids naming names.
Well, Tom was the cat from Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then we had one called Spider. No idea. She was a black cat. Maybe
spider
that's why.
Spider cat.
and then the other one, Moses. And I can only guess because did Moses have a beard?
Yeah, well, in some depictions of him, he does. Yeah.
They might have all had beards back in the day, but Moses was quite fluffy, so that might have been why.
Yeah.
Really, can't put a finger
were
on
you
it.
You a Sunday school goer when you were a kid?
No, but our primary school, we had to sing hymns and do all that. Bible readings and everything else.
Yeah, so...
Had it forced down us.
So, yeah, Moses.
So, Moses, yeah.
Did the cat manage to part the sea?
I was just going
to
say no. But we've got a band on next that did set the sea on fire.
Yeah, and we'll play them segue. Once.
Yeah, we'll play them once. It's Tastes Like Funk, which we've played before, but 1 week I played it twice and didn't realise. Yep. You know, I did the same thing with Faith. I played the wrong song and let the whole thing intro, and wow. Then I've gone, oh, this is wrong, this.
I'm sure that most people wouldn't notice, to be honest.
No.
It's only Carl Maloney that jumps on us for stuff like that.
I had a hashtag, Luke Mistakes.
Yes, that was another thing that you were talking about on the podcast with Faith.
Didn't catch on, thankfully. You scoundrel.
I'm sure Carl's still keeping count now.
Probably, yeah. To be fair, I did make a lot of mistakes in that show. But, you know, hey-ho. Anyway, now I know it's something that's been on your radar because you tweeted about it earlier on in the week, but we've talked quite a bit about Making a Murderer.
Yep.
They're making a second series, I think.
Yep.
And, of course, it follows the life of Stephen Avery, who was wrongly imprisoned for sexual assault and then was released and then sent back to prison.
For a different murder.
For a different murder, sorry, yeah. Now, there's speculation that was because the Manawatu County Police were going to have to pay quite a lot of money to you know, as compensation.
Yeah.
But in putting him in prison a second time, his nephew, Brendan, was also sent to prison. Now, he served 10 years in prison, or something like that, and he's now had his conviction overturned.
Yes. Yeah,
so and he's going to be released.
Well, he may be released.
Well,
it depends if they're going to retry him or not,
yeah,
apparently.
It'll be released within 90 days, which is had a few days chipped off that. So in the next 3 months, he could be released unless the state decides to retry him or if there's an appeal from the prosecution side of things. But, I mean, 10 years is a long time when, if you've seen the documentary, it certainly looks like there was a lot of coercion from the police who interviewed him at the time.
Yeah, I think... Is part of the story is the most kind of damning towards like the police being wrong. Yeah. Obviously, Making a Murderer, I think a lot of people do think that it's kind of one-sided and biased and stuff like that anyway, towards Stephen Avery and whatever.
Well, you've got to keep an open mind with these things, because it's impossible to... It's impossible to capture everything that's happening at the time.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be things... It's like when you make a film out of a book.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't.
The thing is that the filmmakers had access to the family and stuff, and so they were more biased towards that kind of side of the story.
Of course.
And there's lots of other stuff, lots of evidence that was kept out of it and stuff, but the Brendan Dassey stuff, it was his nephew.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
The police interviews and things like that they showed, it did look like it was being coerced, and it did look like he didn't kind of know what was going on, in my mind.
Yeah, the police were sort of telling him, you know, he'd got nothing to worry about, and they were almost putting words in his mouth.
Yeah.
They were framing questions in a certain way that would lead him to agree with what he was saying. And, he was a minor at the time. He didn't have an adult with him. And this, you know, the judge had brought in to question his intellectual, you know, his IQ and things like that.
Yeah.
Should he have had support from somebody, whether it be a doctor or a family member?
His side of the story, as I say, does seem the most tragic part of it for me. And so it's good that he's going to get either a retrial or the conviction completely overturned. If you haven't seen the programme, by the way, what you've been doing, it's amazing.
Oh, God, it's absolutely fascinating. I've never seen anything quite like it. It is on Netflix, so if you haven't got Netflix, then you'll have to find some other ways of watching it. But
yeah,
it's one of the, you know, it's one of the best and most watched documentaries. To say it was only out on Netflix, it was watched an unbelievable amount of times.
Yeah, it was the big story of the time, wasn't it? And Netflix, at the minute, are knocking it out of the park. Have you been watching much on Netflix recently?
I haven't, actually. Wow, right. What have you... You posted something else,
Firstly, Stranger Things. Everybody's raving about Stranger Things.
That was it, yeah.
Which is just amazing. It's kind of it's like a Stephen King book as a six-part serial.
Really?
It is amazing. It's like,
is it like a horror then? Because he does a lot of horrors.
It's kind of a semi-horror thriller and a semi-sci-fi type thing.
Okay, I could probably deal with that. I'm not really into horrors.
It's like, I will name some 80s films that you've not watched.
Oh, go on then,
but,
yeah.
But it's like The Goonies mixed with like Poltergeist, mixed with Stand By Me, mixed with like all these like classic 80s films and all the references to the 80s. It's amazing.
I may as well not bother. I've not seen any of those films. But, you know.
And last night I watched The Get Down, which it's a Baz Luhrmann series. You don't even know that, is it?
No, I don't know.
He's a famous director and whatever. He made Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet, the remake, and stuff like that.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen Romeo and Juliet, the remakes, when they're driving around in cars with guns and whatnot.
That's it, yeah. It's a depiction of the Bronx in the 70s at the height of disco and as hip-hop's being born. And it's kind of like a fictionalised version of that. And it's just amazing. I've only seen the first one so far. It's an hour and a half, the first one.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's like a mini film, and it's brilliant. Like, stylistically, the story, everything. It's amazing. So, yeah, get on Netflix and get watching them.
Well, things to watch if you're looking for something new to watch. Because you know they're bringing Cold Feet back.
Yes.
Faye Ripley was most recently in a police drama called Suspects on Channel 5.
All right, I've not seen that.
Well, they've killed her off now because she can't do both. And I thought I'll try and give that a watch because I'm into stuff like that. And I was reading up on it. Suspects is actually unscripted.
All right.
It's really sort of broken the mould. So what happens is the writers sort of make like a situational pad of what's going to happen in that episode.
Yeah.
And they have a police advisor on set. But then they just get the actors to sort of take it in their own direction. Obviously, they've got certain plot lines and things that they need to include. But in terms of script, they just, you know.
That's interesting. I really like that kind of style.
Yeah, and it really comes across more, because none of it's rehearsed,
yeah,
so to speak.
So I'm guessing it's a bit like Outnumbered in that respect, in that Outnumbered, it had a semi-script and they had beats to hit,
yeah,
but then they'd let the kids go off on saying whatever they wanted to say and stuff.
Yeah, sounds very similar to that. But obviously, because it wasn't scripted, they encouraged the actors to feed off the other's reactions. So if they said something that, because they didn't know what they were going to say, pretty much they knew where the scene was going to be directed towards. Hmm. But it was really fascinating. I thought it was really good. So that's something else I'm watching at the moment. It's really cool.
I might give that a go. Sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, let us know what you think about Making a Murderer, because that's going to be the next big thing on Netflix when it's finished and when it's made.
Yeah,
to be fair, they said they were going to do a season two a while ago, and it's probably not far off because it's, you know, they've had 10 years.
Yeah,
they've probably just done it all in one big block and then split it into two because it was that much.
I think the filmmakers have been with the family for like a very long time, and they still go and see the family and stuff. So I reckon they got enough content to try and make another. Was it a 10-parter, the original one?
I think it. I think it was
10 1 hours.
I think
Yeah, they've got enough to make another series, surely. But I'm guessing they'll want the thing with the first series is you watched it and then at the end you didn't have a conclusion.
Well, no, because there still isn't one, is there?
Yeah,
it's still happening now.
So maybe they're waiting for like the conclusion of this trial or something as like the next chapter to bookend it.
Certainly, but it made me laugh that you posted something about you were reacting to people.
Oh, idiots.
Yeah, idiots. That's the word I was looking for. Because they were complaining that Twitter was posting spoilers.
It wasn't even. They were complaining that the news was posting spoilers about a documentary,
which is based on obviously real. Which is real life.
So apparently now people think that real life news is spoilers for a documentary. Absolutely
world's
insane
gone mad.
People.
World's gone mad. Like I say, idiots. Just the views of James Hargreaves. Not
Indeed.
Necessarily those of Sheffield Live.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Anyway, let's have I Set the Sea on Fire, and this is Taste Like Funk. This is an awesome tune. Get in touch on Twitter. It's just coming up to 2:30. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. I Set the Sea on Fire. Tastes Like Funk.
They were great on Friday night. They headlined the Yellow Arch gig.
I like it very much.
Yeah, they got a really good full sound. And yeah, props to Paul Tufts as well, who was doing the sound, because every band sounded awesome.
We needed him at Tramlines.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I was a bit disappointed with I Set the Sea on Fire's following, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Not many people?
No.
They're from Sheffield, are they?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. They, obviously, Kong were there. Kong had got a good following anyway, and then Solid O Moon Crew had a really good following. Loads of people wearing their T-shirts. And then I Set the Sea on Fire headlined, and it kind of emptied out a little bit.
Yeah.
And for a band with all the band members that I Set the Sea on Fire have, I don't think they sold many tickets for it.
What, just going back onto Solid O Moon Crew, now we've not really heard much from them. We've not had any music sent in for them, have we?
In the past. They follow both me and Faith, and both me and Faith have asked them for music in the past.
Because Faith said that when she was standing in for you one time a few weeks ago.
And I'd heard of them, but not actually heard their music, and really enjoy it. It's a bit like the obvious comparisons to White Stripes, because it's a two-piece.
Yeah.
A drummer and a guitarist kind of thing. And they play kind of like rocky, bluesy, like stuff like that. So that's the obvious comparison. But they do like little bits, like bits like Red Hot Chili Peppers in places. And and the drummer, like, I've never seen a drummer before play the piano, the drums and the trumpet pretty much simultaneously.
That's talent.
it was a visual spectacle as well. They were really good.
So was he doing it sort of one hand on the piano and one hand on the drum?
Yeah,
it was the keyboard.
It was literally reaching across. One is right hand playing the keyboard, and his left hand and his foot playing drums, and then every so often stopping to pick up a trumpet and playing a trumpet. Honestly,
see, that's crazy. Because I mean, I find it not harmonica. I find it amazing that people can play the guitar and sing at the same time.
Yes.
Because your voice is going up and down and your hands have got to stay in rhythm.
Yeah.
I struggle to do that.
Yeah.
So to be able to play the keyboard and the drums is phenomenal for me.
Yeah. And do backing vocals and everything. It was really good.
Well,
impressive.
You know, it's like I couldn't speak highly enough for Connor Houston last week on the show from what we saw at Tramlines. But, you know, to be able to do it live as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Mind-blowing. Really is. Anyway, just on a slightly different type, we were talking last week with DJ Ski. Hello, DJ Ski, if you're listening. And we had a bit of a laugh with him last week. What is the hottest hot food? Now, Paul Sellers was saying a hot dog is quite hot.
It's neither hot nor a dog.
I don't think he understood what I was saying. When you've took something out of the oven and you've put it in your mouth and it's physically burned.
Yeah, we're not talking like hot as in spicy hot.
Or cool.
Yeah.
I'm hot cheese all the way. Hot cheese, nothing hotter. Hot molten lava, hot cheese.
I'm going to stick to my guns on this one and say the middle of a hot apple pie. Now, like, you go to McDonald's and you get one of those, like, apple pies in the cardboard box and you bite into it.
Yeah.
That can be the hottest thing on the planet, I think.
I'm still with the hot cheese. Well, we've put the question out on Twitter, and we've had all of no replies.
What about the middle of a chicken Kiev?
Ooh, yeah. Mm.
I think that's a good shout.
That is a good shout, yeah.
I really hate chicken Kievs.
Really?
Yeah.
I think if you get really cheap, crappy ones that have come frozen, then yeah, they're rubbish.
Yeah.
Because it's like sort of reformed chicken, isn't it? It's rubbish.
Yeah. It's
tasteless.
Yeah, chicken Kievs, sometimes they overdo it with like the garlic and the filling and stuff, and it's
a fine balance, isn't it, James?
It is indeed. Being the food expert that I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of food expert, we've got a barbecue coming up in a few weeks.
Oh, the annual barbecue.
Yes.
At secret location.
Yeah.
Faith's house. No, I'm really looking forward to that. It's on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Every year.
We'll have to prep it, then come do the show, then.
Oh yeah.
Then go back and start burning things with fire.
To be fair, yeah, we'll be back for half three, so it's not an issue.
I do become a Neanderthal man when it comes to barbecue. I'm like, oh, fire, oh.
Yeah, you let your beard grow out a bit. Last year's barbecue was awesome because you'd made the the scaled down version of the beer can burger.
Yeah, the shot glass burger.
So it was like the meat wrapped around a shot glass, and then you'd filled one with cheese and one with something.
You take the shot glass out. You got to take it out. You basically turn the meat from the burger in a ball shape. You turn it into a bowl using pressing in the shot glass, and then fill it with we put chili in one, we put roasted vegetables in, we put cheese and stuff.
Yeah, I think we were calling it the veggie option. Which, thinking about it now, is a bit of a contradiction in terms.
A vegetarian did turn up, and we specifically got one of those separate disposable barbecues to do some vegetarian stuff on.
Who was the vegetarian?
Sarah Pashley's fella.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry.
Not that any of the listeners...
Forgot I was doing a radio show then. Who was that?
Oh, but we did that. And then I think all we had for it was halloumi burgers or something. And I went and burnt them. So
I didn't think you could burn halloumi.
I beg to differ.
Did you manage it? Yeah, because, you can't really burn chorizo, can you? It just gets crispier.
Yeah.
But I like halloumi, though, I have to say. Halloumi burgers.
What did the cheese say when he looked in the mirror?
Hello, me. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. To be fair, the weather's been a bit up and down this summer, but we've had some good weeks, haven't we?
Yeah, we've had some cracking weeks, and then some where it just rains and then decides that it's going to blow a gale and then make your mind up weather.
Well, obviously a lot of people have gone on holiday, but what's the worst thing to come back from a holiday from, would you say?
What do you mean?
So if you've been away and then you come home, what's the worst thing to come back to?
Oh, in weather-wise?
Well, just in general.
The worst thing to come back to is, I don't know, maybe a house has been burgled?
Yeah, we're just thinking that. Well, this next story isn't as bad as that.
Okay.
But I'm trying to lead into a segue there. It sort of worked.
Right, yeah, I understand now.
Yeah.
I do know what you're going into now.
We even spoke about this before as well. Oh, forget it. This holidaymaker's come back from holiday to find that he's had a speeding ticket. Now you're thinking, well, he's obviously sped before he's gone away. No, he hasn't. He's left his car with a car parking company at Gatwick Airport, and they've actually been joyriding it while he's been away.
Wow.
So he's had to pay £77 to leave the car with Blue Star Parking. And then he's had a speeding ticket saying he's done 150 miles.
Wow.
I don't know what it was. But,
150 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
The car's done an extra 150 miles.
Oh, I see, right, yeah.
He's got caught doing 37 and a 30. Obviously, he wasn't driving it. How bad is that? So you leave your car with a company for a week or 2 weeks, however long he's gone for, and then you come back and
these unofficial airport car parks are a bit kind of semi-dodgy sometimes, I think. I remember watching...
£77 seems quite steep, though. You know, for an unofficial one, you'd have thought... I'd probably pay that for going with the airport.
How long did he leave it for? A whole month?
it doesn't say. Maybe a week or so.
But I remember watching...
Tenner a day.
I think it was Watchdog or something, and there was a very similar story on that where people were leaving the cars... And the car park attendants just using the cars.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
And of course, at that point, they're uninsured and stuff if they're out on the streets. So.
Yeah. Well, he got the car back. It was got cigarette ash in there and mud, and it was, obviously they'd used his petrol and not put any more petrol in there. It's just terrible. But when they tried to contact the company, they'd said that it had closed and none of the helplines worked. Yeah. Thankfully, the police have waived the points.
Well, surely if you can prove that you weren't driving it by being in another country.
Yeah, he's managed to prove it by showing him his holiday pictures. Fair enough.
And Mr. Officer, this is us by the beach, and this is us in a dodgy karaoke bar.
Yeah, I nailed Rocket Man. Just saying.
But
shocking.
It is shocking. And I think I read about, was it Gatwick?
It was Gatwick.
I think I read about at Gatwick Airport as well last week, the official car park, I think it's the official one at Gatwick. Last weekend, people were coming back off holiday and ended up waiting 12 hours to get the car because basically the people had mislaid either the car or the keys for the car.
Oh, wow.
And at one point, they were driving people around, you know, like the big massive car parks, the big massive lots that spread for miles. And they were driving people up and down to see if they could recognise their own car.
Brilliant. Brilliant. You've done that before, though, where you've... Well, you won't, because you don't drive. But listeners will have done it where they've come out and think, where the God have I parked the car?
Yeah.
Your car park's vast. It's like we did it on... I went out with one of my colleagues in Castleford. And I'm like, Pete, where have I parked the car? Oh, I don't know. And I said helpfully, well, I know we've parked next to an Audi.
Oh, right, yeah, so just...
Problem was, we'd been there 3 hours and the Audi had since gone, so...
Yeah, that is no help whatsoever.
Not ideal at all. So, yeah, we found it in the end, obviously, that's why I'm here.
I'm usually very good at kind of triangulating my position to remember where things are. Like at festivals, you know, if you're going to a festival,
oh, yeah,
it's a big, massive field like 80,000 people or whatever. And then you want to go to the toilet or something. You don't want to drag all your mates off with you, so they're all still there dancing away and stuff. And I just like pop my head up and look around at all the different landmarks and triangulate my position so I can remember, like, I was between that and that, and behind me was that, so I know exactly where to go.
Well, I went to see you two a few years ago at Don Valley, no longer there. And there were me, one of my friends, and my big brother Mark. And he says, right, I need to go to the toilet. And we were in the standing bit, quite near the front. And I said, all right, I'm not seeing Mark again for the rest of the night. How we managed to get back, found us.
Yeah.
In like 60,000 people or whatever was that, all in the standing bit, managed to find us. Unbelievable.
The ironic thing is, I can be in a, you know, a club which is just a few hundred capacity and lose everyone.
Yeah.
But in a big, massive field, I can find my way to people.
I managed to lose somebody in West Street Live. It's not very big in there.
It gets busy and stuffy in there, though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it just squeezed. Yeah. Everyone's squeezed in.
Well, I was outside. I'm thinking, oh, they've gone. I'll get a taxi. And Paul went, oh, yeah, I'm next at stage.
Okay.
Liar. He was there.
Yeah.
Anyway, just going back to this, you'd have thought if you were going to steal a car, you wouldn't have stolen a Vauxhall Corsa to joyride around in, would you?
Yeah. When I watched that programme about it, like Watchdog or whatever it was, They were driving round in the better cars, all the Beamers and like the Mercedes and stuff. Like Vauxhall Corsa?
Must have been The Apprentice. This is Kong.
You think you're an 8 or a 9? You're about a 6 in 4 pounds time. Going back to the way that you were, the way you dress and the way that you swear. Fake town and desperation. A model for our generation. Alcohol is the one that uncovers the thing that was remained undiscovered. Tonight is gonna be the night. Tonight is gonna be the night. You gain the pride you lost so long ago. Tonight is gonna be the night. Tonight is gonna be the night. Off them lurking ghosts. Will you please stop staring at me? One hour is not the key. One pie is just a soft touch. But how much is too much? Lads come in toilets, hone their nose. Hunger snorts get away the woes. Gresham bills up inside of them. Like an old tonight is gone.
best friend. That's the way it's got to end.
Oh. Fake Tan and Desperation by Kong.
Yeah, they're still the reigning live best band in Sheffield.
Yeah,
the Exposed Awards.
Yeah, Exposed Awards, best live band in the city. And to be fair, it clicked for me on Friday when I was watching them.
Really?
Yeah, I thought they were really good live. They're a bit shouty and a bit like punkish in places, but which isn't normally kind of my style. But seeing them live, it just clicked. He was wearing a Slaves t-shirt, so I was like, yeah, I can kind of get where you're coming from here.
Fair enough.
There were no Salad or Moon Crow.
Well, again, they better be good, because...
yeah, I'm building them up too much now, aren't I?
I know, yeah. Well, I've not heard them yet. I'm looking forward to it.
You need to see them live.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to... did they do anything for Shamlines? Because I didn't really see them... But yeah, I know we spent a lot of time in Crystal, but... We ventured to Frog and Parrot and that.
I think they did. I'm sure the Bradys went to see them. And
oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
The Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Karl Maloney's just tweeted us as well whilst we're on that, saying he's just released all his videos and pictures from the Yellow Arch on rategoodmusic.com.
Ah, get yourself on there then.
Yeah, so have a look. He's got a 3D camera as Carl.
All right.
It's awesome. It's, like, really good. Like, you can... it works on Facebook and stuff now, so it's basically like a stick with like a camera. It's got a camera facing both ways, and using an app, just take a picture, and then you can scroll around and see everyone behind.
Oh, yeah, no, I have seen those. Those are really good. How can you not do? Because I thought they were just panoramas that you could sort of virtually take yourself around. Is it a special camera that you need?
Yeah, for the 3D ones, yeah.
Right.
And you can do 3D video as well, so on YouTube you can have a video on, and like you can be watching, you basically set up a camera in the middle of a stage, and you can scroll around and choose whether to watch the guitarist or the bassist or the singer. Or
I've seen that, because you can get the Google do a, it's called Google Cardboard.
Yeah.
And you can
like
just...
VR.
Yeah, you can wear it, and then you physically move around, and you can see everything in a sort of 360 degree.
Yeah.
Vision.
Well, Sony are releasing PSVR soon, the PlayStation VR.
Oh, that's going to be crazy.
And they've bought a theatre in New York, which is now called the PlayStation Theatre. And the rumour is that they're going to set up a 3D camera in one of the front row seats kind of thing. And then anybody with PSVR can essentially be at that gig, essentially.
That sounds pretty cool. Sounds pretty cool. Anyway, just moving on from that. We mentioned about the football starting, but obviously the Olympics is in full swing now.
It is.
And
I know very little about it.
No, we've won quite a few medals up to now. Have you not watched much of the Olympics at all?
I've not watched any of it. The only thing I've watched is a very quick clip on, it was on Reddit last night, of a camera tracking shot during the swimming, and it looked like the start of a film. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, they've done a lot with the cinematography. But that aside, we're currently sat third in the medals table. We've got 10 golds, 13 silvers and 7 bronze. But the big one is Michael Phelps has won his 23rd gold medal across 4 Olympic Games. That is just incredible.
That is, yeah, pretty. Didn't he just get silver this year?
He's had
one of them.
Oh, maybe. He's had 4 golds up to now.
So I'm sure, again, I've not really followed it that much, but I'm sure there was a little meme going around about how angry he was to just get silver.
Yeah, probably will have been. He's just an incredible athlete.
There's no wrong with silver, though, is there, Jess Ennis?
Yeah, she's had one. She was favourite for the gold, though, so she might be a little bit disappointed, but a medal's a medal, you know.
Yeah.
You work really hard to get one, don't you? So.
Yeah. And let's face it, she's done about a million times better than I could, so I can't slate her for that.
No, definitely not. But we've had medals in diving, track and field. We had one in shooting, and that was the first medal to come home, because he's running a farm. He's a farmer.
All right.
And his normal job. So he's won a, he's
it's
won
basically a, life for him.
Well, pretty much. But he's won a bronze in shooting, and that's the first one that's come
I
back.
I think the Americans were good at that one, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? They've probably won the gold, I don't know. I'm just trying to find it.
I think Mo Farah win his third gold?
And he fell over. He fell over and still won a gold.
Wow.
10,000 metres he won that in. Brilliant. Oh, we've won gold, we've won medals in the slalom as well. The men's canoe single didn't go so well, but the kayaking was good, and the canoeing doubles was good as well.
Right.
Why don't you watch the Olympics?
Oh, I'm not that fussed about it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people that make me feel awkward for being fat. as they're running round some track.
Well, I never used to watch it all that much, but when we hosted the games 4 years ago, I really got into it. I was sort of converted, even though I don't really understand a lot of what the rules are and whatever.
You pick it up
fairly quickly, I have to say.
To be honest, I'm not the massive sporting person. I like football, and I can watch like bits of other sports, but you know, stuff like golf or you know, cricket, it's a waste of a day for me, that.
Yeah, I'm not, to be fair, golf and cricket aren't the best ones to watch where I'm sitting.
Even tennis, watching tennis, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Don't get me started on things like bowling.
Well, I like the when they do the curling, and they're like there with a broom, trying to slow it down.
Do you think that cleaners would be better at that one? Like farmers better at shooting?
They might be. Who knows?
It's like put your elbow
really,
into it.
Really rapid.
Yeah.
Broom.
Bit of mop action.
Yeah,
tell you what, they should do that curling on the floors at the Yellow Arch because that's slippy enough for it.
Yeah, yeah. They probably could. Anyway, we've got to go in about 5 minutes, so we're just going to squeeze Celador Mooncrow in. Before DJ Ski gets here with his platinum plates. This one is Tightrope, and it's the one we've all been looking
forward to. Awesome band. Go see them live. Go on. What do you think about that then, Luke?
Awesome. Yeah, like you said, you can tell they're influenced by White Stripes and that, can't you? But
yeah,
I mean, you were saying there that at that point he's playing the keyboard at the same time he's playing the drums, and
it's great to watch.
And what
definite must see band.
What a voice the singer's got as well.
Yeah, his range is awesome. And as well, if you go on Bandcamp and search for Salad or Mooncrow, they've got three songs on there that are free to download. So,
oh, right, well,
just get yourself on it.
We'll be doing that, yes.
Yes.
And I'm guessing they're on Spotify and whatever else.
I couldn't find them on Spotify.
Ah, okay.
So,
yeah. Get on there then. Get on Bandcamp.
Get on Bandcamp.
We've just about got to leave DJ Skis here. He's early. He's given himself a minute and a half to set up.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Only one run through with the adverts this week.
That's how it's going to be, is it? That's how it's going to be. Okay, man.
What are you doing for the rest of the week, James? Nothing.
I want to go to the cinema at some point this week.
Jason Bourne?
No, I want to see Suicide Squad, even though everybody's saying it's rubbish.
Oh, my friend Tom McGrath went to see that. He's 25, he got ID'd. It's only 15.
Excellent.
Babyface. Anyway, just time for us to leave. We'll be back next week. Catch us on the podcast, Molten Hot Lava Cheese.